So, welcome everyone. This is Connections Over Coffee. I'm so glad to see everybody. Carmela, we were just chatting about her crazy busy weekend. And Debbie, I haven't had a chance to connect with you for a while. So I'm excited to spend some time with you, girl. Debbie has not too long ago gone through some surgeries and is in the recovery mode and is looking wonderfully amazing today. So yes, it's so good to see you here. And we've got Linda with us. Linda's been crazy busy building out some new products and having some webinars on her end. And so that's been fun. And Linda, can you hear us okay? She's going to be joining us by phone. So I don't know if she's going to have her her camera on, but can you hear us okay?
Yeah, right now I can talk and I'll be jumping in my car here any minute.
Okay. All right. I get it. I get it. And Sherry is just now coming on. So we're going to get her up here and then we're going to get underway. So we are talking about Connections Over Coffee. It's all about building relationships. And for those of you that have been with me for a while, you know, the scoop, you know, the whole rise where, we talk about reconnecting, and then we talk about the impact that we make, and then how to storify our story. And so today we're talking about storify, and I love this topic because for all of us, and Michael, jump in if you have any comments on this one, but I think we're all somewhat in the vintage where we're starting to think about legacy, like what. You know, what are we going to leave behind? And especially for those of us that have taken care of elderly parents, or for those of us that have even had some issues of our own, maybe health issues or whatever. And so we're all at as we all click through the years, we start thinking about what is our legacy going to be? And so when we talk about Storify, it's our story. What are we going to leave behind? Mark and I just had this huge conversation the other day about his dad. And one of the things that we were talking about is we said, how many generations are going to go by and they're not even going to know who Gramps was? They're not going to remember what his voice sounded like or, you know, his funny little quirks that he had that were so endearing to us. Or even, you know, what he believed in or what he thought. And he's going to practically disappear. Because when I think back about my grandparents or my great grandparents, I can tell you very little about them. And so one of the ways that I think we can tell our story, and by all means, you don't have to be a writer. There's this thing on Facebook, and I love it for folks that are not a writer, is that you can create a memoir. And it doesn't have to be some big written, edited, published thing, unless you want it to be. But there is this thing on Facebook, and maybe some of you have seen it and can even enlighten me as to what it's called, because I didn't make a note of it. I just happened to see it in scrolling, where you pay for it, you sign up, I don't know, it's under $100, and they send you a couple of questions a week, and you answer the questions, and it goes back to this company, and they put it together and bind it in a book, and you can submit pictures to go with the different questions that you've answered, and they actually bind it in a book and turn it into a nice little story for whoever it was that answered the questions and sent in the pictures. So this is a perfect way if you have a mom or a dad or an older sibling or a spouse, or even yourself, if you're like, you know what, I don't think I'm going to sit down and write and put my story down as to what I stood for or as to what I liked and what I didn't like and what my life was like. But this is a perfect way to actually create that memoir. Now, you can do it on your own. You don't have to buy a program to do it. You can write your own if you're a writer. But it had the prompts. And I think that's what I enjoyed about it, is that it had the prompts and it kind of if for lack of a better way to say it, it kind of triggered your memory. You know, it said like, what was your favorite thing when you were little? Or what was your fondest memory when you were in elementary school? And, you know, what was your first school dance like? Or what was your first date like? Or what was your first ball game or your first concert? And so it just kind of triggers your memory to go, oh yeah, let me think about that for a minute. And then you can just write it down. And then their editors at this company that I saw online, their editors put it together in a book format. And you can get it even in a hardback, and they'll have authored by with, so it's a keepsake. It's one of those things. And then you can get extra copies of it. I don't know, for like $30, you could order as many. $30 each. You could order as many hardback covers, and it actually comes out bound in a hardback book. And it seems like it was $100 to do the program, and then like $30 for however many additional books that you wanted for like family members. But anyway, it's just a way to get your story on paper. If it's something that you keep thinking you're going to do and you just never quite get around to it, it's a quick way to get, because you're only answering two questions a week. And so in like 6 months, you're done, and you get your book. And so a lot of times folks are doing it for Christmas presents or a birthday present or an anniversary of the parents or whatever. So the question today, because we're talking about storifying our life, and by the way, Gramps did write a book. It wasn't his memoir, but it kind of was. Because it was his thoughts on things. And I don't know if you guys remember his book, but yes, but he did write a book. Yes, Michael.
Real quick, do you know what that's called? It sounds very interesting.
You know what? I just scrolled past it on Facebook one day and I did not make a note of it, but I might be able to find it, and I'll see if I can't look it up when I, because I'm recording this into a replay. So
Okay.
I'll see if I can't look it up and find it. I don't know that I can put my finger on it right off the top. Yeah.
That's okay. Yeah,
And it
I'd
was
like to look
something,
at that.
about memoir. It was like writing your memoir, and it was just a good way to leave something behind, because a generation from now, Gramps's book is still going to be on Amazon. A generation from now, folks can still go in and buy his book. It's been actually published in four different languages, Amazon tells me. And I'm like, who knew? Who knew? And so, for those of us that are published authors, I know Sherry's a published author, I'm a published author, and I know Carmela, Debbie, and Linda, they're all published in the magazine. And so we're all published, but sometimes just sitting down and writing a full memoir is a lot of work. And then if you're like me, you're like, oh, am I going to throw anybody under the bus, or am I going to be nice? I remember when, because we all have hurts and pains and struggles and stuff that we've gone through in our life. And so sometimes telling the story, you don't necessarily want to throw somebody under the bus unless you're specifically writing a memoir to that effect. But in this one on Facebook, it was just a light, happy, what were your favorite moments over the years? Throw in some pictures, and it's just a nice little picture memoir of, your grandmother or your mother or a family member. And so it was just a nice way to leave something behind as a legacy. So my question today is, if your life were a memoir titled RISE, which is our acronym for this particular group, what key story or turning point would absolutely have to be in it, and why? So, if your life were a memoir titled Rise, where you could reconnect with yourself, you could make an impact, you could storify your life, the different steps you had to go through, what would actually be a key story or turning point, and why? Sherry, it looks like she raised her hand, but I don't see. Oh, there she is. Yes, Sherry.
Hey, Kathy, it's great to be here. How are you today?
Yeah, I lost you there for a second. When you raised your hand, it bumped your picture around. That's
Well,
funny.
I'm still here. I'm still here.
Good, good,
So
good.
Actually, I was at a challenge this week. We've talked about challenges in the Build a Better Business. It's a 2 day, 3 day, 5 day, 7 day, sometimes 30 day event where the person that's hosting challenges the audience to accomplish homework every night. And one of the things that came out of that is I have a clearer picture of my next book and what that is going to look like. And one of the stories that's in there, I had forgotten.
Okay.
And this challenge brought it out in me. And the story is, I was at a Christmas party the year that my son was an infant. So he was 3 months, 3, 4 months old, and my daughter is 5 years older than him. So she was five. So obviously she's speaking, but at 5 years old, she was a little peanut. So she was still in a booster seat. So we've got
Okay.
two kids in seats in the back seat. I'm the only adult in the car. Okay. We were
Okay.
going past this segment near the mall where the lanes were starting to shrink together. I was in the lane that was shrinking. I had fallen asleep at the wheel.
Oh.
Okay. I was awakened. Literally, I saw red on my face by a slap across the face. And Krista says to me, I couldn't see the top, I couldn't see the bottom, but I know it was an angel mom. The angel slapped you across the face and turned the steering wheel. I went, oh, chills. I had forgotten that story, and that story is going to end up in my next book.
And again, we all have moments like that that we want to remember. And you know, a generation or two from now, that story is totally lost.
And Krista has forgotten the story. She was five, and now she's going to be 30, and she's forgotten the
Sure.
story.
Sure. I get that. Yeah. I get that. Sherry, thank you so much for sharing that. That's amazing. Michael, you had your hand up.
Yeah, I've actually been thinking about this a lot, and I have an outline of a more or less a memoir. But with fictional names for the people that are real in my life to not throw anybody under the bus like you had referred to. But in your case, with your specific question, it would be, you know, that ending of that memoir. My book that I'm organizing and trying to work on right now is from the age, more or less from the age of 20 to 42-ish.
Okay.
I'm 47, be 48 next month. So I guess the where I'd go with your question would be towards the end in a the journey within a journey of recovery and getting through. Are making strides to get through a mental health condition I have as a bipolar condition
Okay.
and kind of coming full circle with, you know, realizations and having other people, you know, relate and listen better and understand where I was coming from and kind of eliminate the misunderstanding within the disorder and move through that. So more or less the turning point on recovery, I guess, would be my point.
Okay. So are you a writer? Do you have other books out, or is this kind of the first thing you're working on?
It's the first one.
Okay.
Don't have anything published. I'm trying to work through that. I don't, I've got a long way to go, but it's all, you know, it's very vividly in my mind and notes and all everything. So it's just a matter of
Okay.
finding the time. And if I had a vacation somewhere in the by the calm blue ocean where I could relax, I would be able to do it, put the whole thing together probably in about 3 weeks. So, but
All right.
Got a long way
I
to go.
found the information you were looking for, Michael.
Okay.
It's the ad, it's their feature is called My Life in a Book. But the company I think is called StoryWorth. And what it does is once you sign up, they send you one to two prompts every week, and you just answer the questions. Now, Debbie and I have had a huge conversation about memoirs in the past. We each, both or each, will probably write a full-fledged memoir, more of a healing process for ourselves as well as telling our story. And so it'll be much more in depth than what this ad is on Facebook that I'm talking about. This one, StoryWorth, My Life in a Book, this one is going to be lighthearted, and the prompts are simply going to ask you all the fun stuff throughout your life. You can throw in some pictures, and it's a way to kind of remember grandma's life. It's not going to tell you the times that grandma went to bed hungry or any abusive situations, or because that is not the purpose of this particular ad, this particular company. It's more or less to try to get a memory out into a book form to hand out to the kids and grandkids and make everybody happy. So if you're wanting to actually write a full-fledged memoir where you're going to, share the pain as well, the ups and the downs, this is probably not it. But it would give you a great tool to see the kind of prompts that are in something like that. And it could help you write, your in-depth memoir if you wanted to then add your own prompts of, the negative things that you want to include. But what this book does is if you are not a writer, this company will take those prompts that you answered, and they have a ghostwriter team that will put it together in story form. All you're doing is answering questions and submitting pictures, and they write the story. Then they send it out to you. You still get to edit it before, if you say, I don't like this one page, or I don't like how you said that, they'll work with you to change a few things. And then once that's done, then you can just order however many copies you need or would like to have at for a price. And it's not cheap. They're going to charge you like $30 a book to do that. Whereas if you wrote your own and self-published and uploaded it to Amazon, you can get author copies for about $4 a piece, just to give you an idea of the price differences there. But if you're doing the whole thing on your own, you don't have the ghostwriter, you don't have the editors, you don't have the binding, you don't have the formatting. They're doing all of that if you just wanted a fun little memoir. So all I'm saying is that it's just an option. And Michael, I think the comments that you made, those would definitely have to be in a memoir for you because that was a huge piece of your story. And
Yeah,
so
no,
I would
it's
think you
yeah,
have
it
to.
is. It is. It's a big thing. And I've been formulating it and getting into outlines and chapters and things. So it's really just about putting it together. But yeah, it's a it's 22 to 20, 3 years of my life, my story. So yeah, it's a more broader or bigger, more specific over a longer
Yes.
period of time. So yeah, I understand that for sure. But yeah, this sounds actually, interesting to maybe do other avenues or something broad scope over that. So yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I think it's just a tool that we can all use to get something down on paper. Yeah, so I like that. Debbie, you have your hand up.
Yes. And before I forget, you need to tell Michael about Trillo
Ah.
because
Has
I
that
am.
been helpful to you?
It's at first I thought, I can do this on my own, but I've realized that Trillo is the way to go in order to take the confusion out of putting it together. So, Michael, try Trillo. It'll save your life.
Yeah, I'll circle back and talk about that in a minute. Remind me. But Debbie, go ahead. What if your life were a memoir titled Rise, what would be the key story or turning point for you?
Well, key story, the turning point came last week. I
Oh my.
was house sitting for Sandy.
Okay.
And I hope I can relay this to you so you can understand it. But I almost drowned.
What?
I was floating in the pool on a floaty thingy, and her pool is kind of diagonal, or shallow to deep. And I was going along the side, holding on, and floating. I was sit up. I hit the waterspout that filters it on the side of the pool, and it literally shoved me away and tipped me over. And I was sucking in water. I was panicking. I was flailing, and my feet were still on this floaty thing, and I couldn't get rid of it. I was trying to kick it away. And the next thing I know is I see a vision of myself lying flat in the pool, face down, and my family finding me. And within a brief second, God told me, He says, "I am not going to let you drown. I have too much for you to do. And just go with me and fight." And with that, the thing, I was able to kick it away, and I was still gulping in air and trying to find the side of the pool because I was really close to it, but I couldn't find it. And when I saw this vision, I had gone under the water. I took in a big gulp of water and my eyes opened wide. So seeing that vision was as plain as day. And I had a lot to think about after that, a whole lot. And I talked to a very dear friend that is in my Bible study the next day. She helped me realize a lot of things just in that incident that I have gone through many circumstances without realizing my life was in danger. But she told me, she goes, and she's a scholar, and I love her to death. She made me realize that he has got plans for me, and he wants me to fight. He wants me to keep fighting. And no, my life is not going to end up drowning in a pool at my daughter's. That is not it. And I have been going through a lot of spiritual challenges since I've gone back to church, and I go to Bible study. I read my Bible every day. This is my third year, and I have a podcast that I listen to, and what you have to do, what I realize is I had to look beyond the incident and realize that I have angels. People say there's no such thing, but yes, there is. And so what this has done is, because I'm coming farther in my book, it's making me see things clearer. And I've been reading a book called Between Kingdoms. And it's a memoir of someone that had leukemia. And it's the book is absolutely amazing. And it's an old book. But I realized that I put too much pressure on myself to be somebody for somebody else, to not be myself, you know. And it's not worth it. So as you can see, it's still very fresh for me. And
Wow, Debbie, I guess that's shocking.
it is because and for those of you that back in 2002, I can remember it because I was separated from Rick and I was living in Hocking Hills. And so vivid today. I was driving to work. I was going over 33, and I just happened to look to my right, just to see the traffic coming down the road. And the next thing I know is I'm hearing go around, and I turn and I look, and the car that was in front of me decided to stop. And the angel told me to go around. And I went around. I didn't question it. I didn't hesitate. I did it. And to this day, I don't even know how the heck I fit between that car and the bridge abutment.
But
And
you went around.
I went around. And so, it's like incidents that have happened in your life. Sometimes it's just not meant to go by the wayside and not remember it.
Now, are
So,
you putting these little snippets of stories in your Trello board so that you don't forget them?
oh yeah. Well, that
Because
first
these stories are so easily overlooked when we're trying to look at the big picture, we overlook at a lot of the little stories that really are impactful.
right. Because, and I can visualize me going around the car. And to this day, I don't know how I fit because I remember seeing the side mirror so like right on that car. And so it's just little things that you've got buried in your mind. And it's amazing when for me, it's when faith has stepped into my life. Now, so much that things come out, things get revealed. You suddenly, these little flashes you remember. And so I guess that's what I'm saying. This is what kicked me off into answer your question.
Well, and Debbie, from what I know, because Debbie and I, we go way back. So we've been together for a lot of years. And what I do know, Debbie, is that your story is going to be so impactful. When we talk about rise with, reconnecting to our authentic selves and then what kind of an impact, your story is going to be so impactful for generations to come. And so I really feel strongly about your memoir being, again, I'll call it the real deal. I think this Facebook one is a little fluffy one, if you know what I mean. You're like, oh, grandma, her favorite color is blue, and she's got a tea set, and she got married in her mother's wedding dress, and it's all like the high points of her life with some pictures, and everybody's like, oh, we get to remember grandma this way. But when you really get, like Michael is talking, or like you and I are talking, writing a memoir where you get really down into the weeds, and you kind of share the good and the bad, that is so impactful to readers that are maybe struggling with some of those same issues.
Well, and that's very true because it's like this book I'm reading. It's amazing how, you can read books and, memoirs and stuff like that, but this one really has resonated with me very, very much so, that if anybody gets a chance to read it, it's amazing. And
And what was the
I'm
name again?
Between Kingdoms,
Okay.
and I found it at Goodwill. So now, I never say anything bad about Goodwill books. I get my best books there. So, but yeah, it's I lost my train of thought. So, yes.
All
So
right.
it's really
Perfect.
good.
Perfect. Debbie, thank you so much for sharing. And I am so sorry you went through that. My goodness. Wow.
Well, luckily I had Lucy there, their dog.
Yeah, but right now you're like, I'm marching forward, buddy. I'm you're ready to go now. I can tell.
I am. I am.
Yeah. Yeah. All
Thank
right,
you.
Carmela, you had your hand up. Go ahead.
Well, my life has gone through a series of things, almost relating a little bit with Debbie's story. But as you know, Kathy, we've known each other for a short while. But I've a lot of my history and my upbringing is like this close relationship I have with my grandmother. And a lot of the, my faith and everything, not that I can't attest to my mom, but a lot of it came from my grandmother and things she shared with me over the years. And it's so funny. This morning, I took my one niece, or my adoptive niece. I had to help her with some things this morning. And I'm driving on my way to work, and it's like a calm morning. And going a normal speed, if I was going any faster, I probably would have been in a really serious car accident. This guy just flew out, didn't even stop. I had the right of way on the street. And I had to slam on my brakes. And it was so weird how I stopped like instantly. But the crazy thing was, yeah, my heart kind of jumped and it scared me, but I was calm, which is not me normally. But about a month ago or two, I was at church, and our praise and worship service was like really good. And the songs that they were singing, sometimes I listen to a lot of words, to songs, no matter what genre. I always listen to the words. And literally, I could hear like God speaking to me to the point where I was like in tears. I had to get tissue, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And God was telling me that I needed to take more time and rest. And I'm like, okay, I heard it three times, literally. Then our sermon by my pastor that morning, he was talking about trusting God and not trying to do things our own, and how he always has our backs. He's always there. Well, they asked, if some people needed prayer for anything. And I thought, I'm going to go. So I went, and there was a lady who sits clear on the other side of the church. I'm one of those people that I have a row. I sit in my certain seat, and
Don't we all?
I mean,
We have our
it's
favorite
so
seat.
funny. I sat in the wrong row, and the girl that sits in front of me is a friend. She goes, Carmela, you need to be a row back. And I'm like, oh, my bad. I'm in row six and you're in five. But I went up, and the one lady, she says, what do you need prayer for today? And I says, I'm just overwhelmed because the story of me, with my parents and going back and forth. It's just like so much is going on, and then at the office and things. She started saying, well, God's going to give you peace and you need to rest. Well, then all of a sudden she stops praying in the midst of it, and she says, I'm hearing God say that you need to take time and rest. And she says, you really need to rest and just, focus on your relationship with him, because he's got a work for you to do. That made me cry even more, because I'm such an emotional person and baby. And then later she said, he says, if you don't rest, you won't survive. And that was very scary and traumatic for me, all these emotions. And then comes, and this probably was towards the end of May. Then June 1st, I go to high school graduation. Shawnee, where Jade graduated, we had a lot of kids, like six kids from church that graduated from this school. So I went because a lot of them, they're like my adoptive kids. I was planning on going to a party, at one of the kids' house they were having it that day. I get a frantic call from my sister-in-law, and she said, "Your dad called. Something's going on with your brother. And he hasn't talked to him today." And I says, she goes, "But I haven't talked to him since last night. We talked last night." And I said, "Well, what did he say?" And she's just hysteric. And I said, "Calm down. Let me call and figure out what's going on." I try to call my brother Nathan. He doesn't answer. I try to call your niece Danny. She doesn't answer, which I ended up giving them lectures because a lot of times they never answer a call. And I go, "It's not like I call you all the time to have a normal conversation because we text, but if I'm calling, there's a reason. So you guys need to answer the phone." So, and I called my daughter, and come to find out, long story short, I end up calling. It's like I just had this thought. It's like, "Call your aunt." And I'm like, "Why am I calling her?" I called her, she answered. She says, "You need to get to Marion and you need to have Farley drive you." So I knew it wasn't good. Come to find out, Latance and I both were, he was helping me out a great deal with taking care of my parents. He could handle my dad. My dad would listen to him more so than me for whatever reason. And here, my brother had passed in his sleep, and my dad was like, didn't say anything until like after 3 o'clock in the afternoon, because he's like, he hasn't come downstairs, and he happened to spend the night that night. And I'm like, "Oh my God, I'm thinking about my mom and everything." And even, talking about it, I haven't really grieved for it because I've been there. I'm always there for everybody. And I'm not saying it's like a bad thing, but once again, I always put myself on the back burner. And in the midst of this, I'm wearing a knee brace because another clip it is I tore my meniscus, I have bursitis, and I've canceled appointments and I've put off doing surgery. And then
Take care of everybody else.
this past weekend, Saturday, I fell on my bad knee. And so I've had a lecture from my pastor's wife. "You can't do this. You're wearing yourself thin." And it was almost with the car this morning where once again, there's a flash where, when are you going to start taking care of you? And it's just the little things, even taking that time to read, to just, whatever. And I was putting away pictures that I had pulled out for my brother's, memorial, because everything happened so fast. My sister-in-law says, "I."
So Latance was totally unexpected of him passing. Because I mean, one minute we're all on Facebook and liking each other's posts, and the next minute it's like, oh, did you hear he passed away? And we're like, what?
Yeah, and it was like I just saw him that Thursday, and this was a Sunday, and I go, "I never thought that would be the last time I would talk to my brother, who was younger than me. He had just turned 52 in January."
Do we know why he passed? Was it just like heart failure, or
I
do we
think it
know?
was heart, because I asked the coroner, and he said the way that he found him, he said he thinks he just passed in his sleep. His heart just, and here I didn't realize it. But the crazy thing is, I was going through putting away pictures, and I'm looking at all these pictures, and it's like he was so happy and go lucky. Everybody, loved him. It's like, "Oh my gosh, he was so funny." To hear stories that people told me. And then I looked at a couple recent pictures and I saw a sadness, and I'm like, why didn't I? And once again, I'm saying, Carmela, you weren't on it. Why didn't you see this in your brother's eyes, where like there was like that emptiness? And I know he had gone through a lot with his wife over the past year, because I mean, she has a drinking problem and she just wouldn't deal with things. And she took off at one point, and they had separated, and then he went back and was trying to work. And it was just so much. And it's almost like, I have that heart to serve where I'm there for everybody. And yet, the eye-opening thing was having God tell me something, but it was like confirmation through somebody else who knew nothing about anything, because I hadn't shared it with, I mean, it literally happened in a one service where you won't survive. And here it was like my brother passes like right after that. And I'm like, that could have been me. And
Wow.
just going, and I'm like, and I'm learning now, it's like life is so precious. We don't know. And I'm always like, on, and like you, we were talking earlier when I first, jumped on, my weekend was so busy, because not only was I planning one surprise party, but it turned into two, and I got it done, because that's me. I, funny thing, I was at the church late because I have a key and, the code, I can set the alarm. I was in there late Friday doing last minute things. And our pastor's wife called because her daughter was there. And they said, she wants to talk to you. And she's like, Carmela, why are you there? And I'm like, oh, I want to make sure Vacation Bible School starting Sunday is going to be perfect. You've done enough. You need to go home. Don't make me call security. And then I'm thinking, the two security guys at our church are in the 70s. And I'm like, I'm not worried. I'm 2 minutes away from my house. So by the time they get there, I'm gone. But once
So
again,
have you made plans on what you're going to do for you? Have you set aside some time for some self-care?
Actually, I'm supposed to be leaving next week to go to Maryland.
Okay.
And I said, that's going to be, actually, I was going to start, today, but I have Vacation Bible School, which started last night. And I'm like, I'm working today. I go to that. That's over with it from 6 to 8. At 10 o'clock tonight, I have to go to the bowling alley, because I'm on the board for an organization that is Connect Youth for Mental Health. So it's basically, working with youth that deal, because ever since COVID, mental things, whatever they go, going through. So I'm one of the adult leaders on that group. They're having a lock-in again, a second lock-in at the bowling alley, where we do activities with them. And I'm there till 7 in the morning. So it's like, and my knee, and I was told, you shouldn't go. Well, I mentioned it to the lady that's over it. I can't do this without you. I can't be down one person, and you're my main person, my
Oh.
right? So I'm like, I gotta go.
But
And
do you have something on the schedule at least out a few days from now? Something where you're going to get some self, someplace where you can just hide from everybody wanting a piece of you?
yes. Well, I said, I think, Thursday is Addison's birthday. So I said, maybe I would surprise. She had a party Saturday, and I already have. And when they throw parties, usually they plan them, and my calendar's already booked. So you have to catch me early. So I thought about, doing something, and maybe like having a spa day with her where I just kind of take off and go. But then also Friday, I took Friday off, because I know this is me going, but it's fun. They're opening up a Crazy Benz in Toledo. And it's only an hour drive for me here from Lima. And basically, it's a Target outlet store.
Okay.
I love Target.
All
We
right,
just
that'll
have a
be fun.
Target. So I
Yeah.
thought, you know what? I just want to go and I'm meeting up with an old coworker to check out a store. And
Good.
it's like I'm not rushed or anything, but I can just ride and then just chill out and then we're going to have lunch. And you know, that's like my day. And I contacted my daughter and I says, maybe one day during the week you can take a day off. I'll come over the night before, spend the night, and we'll have like a mother-daughter day.
Yeah.
Whatever, you know, because my daughter is a prime role model for me because she's like, Mom, you go too much. I ask her, well, what's your weekend consist of? Well, I'm probably going to be hanging by the pool reading a book.
And you're like, I don't think that's ever been on my calendar to stay by the pool and read a book
Look,
for the weekend.
I haven't even filled my pool yet. The summer's going to be over with. So,
Well, I get it. And you know what? My hat is off to you. I appreciate everything that you do for everyone. But yes, I hear the message loud and clear for you to get some self-care in there. I hope you're hearing it loud and clear for you to get some self-care in there, because there is nothing wrong with getting, you don't have to be at the top of your list all the time. You have to at least be on your list.
right. And you know, and that's one of the things. And last weekend, I had invited Caden to come over. I had invited the whole family, but it ended up being a day with just Caden and I. I took him to Wapak to the Neil Armstrong Museum because it was Moon Week. Oh my gosh, he loved it. And he's like, Aunt Carmela, I just really enjoyed spending time with you and looking at history and reading. He got to meet an astronaut and get his autograph, and which was nice. And I took him downtown Wapak and we saw some of the different, you know, vendors and stuff and got something to eat. And we just chilled and hung out, and which was really good because he had kind of shut himself off for a while, you know, was not communicating with many people, you know, just, but the fact that, you know, he felt that he still can come to me and I'm genuine with him, you know.
Yes.
I'm not pushing
And
him off.
he can be a grown up with you.
He can. And that was
Because
the
I think what happens with kids when they're with their parents, they have a tendency to still be kids. It's the way they act when they're not with their parents is who they really are, to the world. And so, he gets to be grown up with you.
And he gets the and he had the chance to be his true self
Yeah.
because, you know, what Aunt Carmela hears is, oh, he's doing this, you know, the parents complain. And I'm like, but you know, it's not all him. You got to look at yourself too, you know, and relate to him at his age. But, and you know, that's one thing too. I want to leave that legacy, like I said. And even I started, you know, writing things down in a journal. And so the next step, you know, like you, Kathy, and Sherry, you're all, you know, writing that book, you know, writing that thing, you know, and I don't want to put it off. And, you know, Farley wrote a book, you know, a little bit about his life with different things, but he hasn't done anything. And I'm like, okay, this is going to be our goal. We're going to do this together, you know.
Good, good,
But
good, good.
thank you all for being such a good inspiration and an encouragement. I mean, it helps a great deal.
Well, and I think you have to kind of know that you've got somebody in your corner. Sherry says schedule about 3 hours per week if you want to start writing stuff down. And I know that seems like a lot, but boy, if you could carve that out, you're going to make some progress. If you could carve out about 3 hours. Yes, I love that. Well,
Can I add something, Kathy?
sure,
In that
sure.
3 hours, they don't have to be in one block. They could be 30 minutes every morning. That'll get you 3 hours a week and still have freedom on Sunday. You can do 1 hour 3 days a week, or you could take one block in 3 hours. There's a neurological connection here to the 30 minutes. Our brains will go on max intentional focus for about 30 minutes or so, and then it's the literally the glucose depletes out of our brain and it needs to be refueled. So we need, that's why that 30 minutes is powerful. But sometimes, even in that 30 minutes, if your brain isn't ready for the actual content, you'll sit there and you'll look at the blinking screen, as they say, writer's block. Don't let writer's block get in the way. Whatever it is that you're thinking that day, just type without correction. It's best to do it by hand when you're first putting it down on paper. Just write, 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 write. No correction. Just don't edit yourself, because that's where the best content comes from when you go back and look at it later.
Now, I do have one thing that I can add to that as well. And then I want to jump over to Linda. I don't know if she's still driving or what her situation is there. She's been very patiently just hanging in there with us. But Carmela, one of the things that I like to do, and Sherry, maybe if you have any comments on this, I like to actually turn on my Google Docs and do my little microphone on my phone. I like to open up a Google Doc on my phone, hit the microphone when I'm doing my morning walk, and then I can just talk. Because if I'm going to walk for half an hour, I can talk and tell a story for half an hour. And then, to go back to what Debbie is saying, I can then copy and I can edit it a little bit if I want when I get back in front of my computer. And then I can copy and paste it over on a Trello card, because I don't know exactly where that story is going to fit into the overarching story. But I know it's a story that I didn't want to forget, that I want to include in the book. And so then I can put it on a Trello card and name the story. And then on the Trello board, and again, I said I would talk about this, so Michael's going to come back and listen to the replay to hear this part. On the Trello board, once you fill in the cards, it's almost like having a bulletin board on your wall of index cards, and you can pull the push pin out and say, okay, this should go in chapter four. No, I think I want it in chapter three. Oh, maybe it should be in chapter six. Well, you do it electronically. You just click on the card and you can scoot it all around on your Trello board and drop it wherever. And it's infinitely changeable. If you go, oh, I changed my mind, I don't want it there after all, you can move it yet again. And it's a great way that once you get all of those little snippets of stories, it's a great way then to organize in what order you want to tell those stories in the book. And so it's an electronic bulletin board is all it is. And I use it all the time. So Debbie, thanks for bringing that up.
So, to add to Kathy's Google Docs, as long as you are doing an activity that doesn't require brain power, for example, you could be driving the car, not in a stressful situation. You want to be driving the car kind of in that zone, automatic state. I'm getting a phone call. Sorry. You could be doing laundry. You could be walking. It doesn't matter. Movement will add to the story. Your brain will get refueled with glucose as you're walking or taking care of the task. So as long as you have something on to do an audio record, you can do that as long as it's not a cognitive task. So an automatic task.
Which is why walking works for me.
So I was thinking about this, Carmela. You were sitting there sorting papers for Vacation Bible School or something. If you had the doc open on your phone, you could be sorting papers and just talking, and it would record your conversation to yourself.
Yep, I love it. And it puts it in writing for you, because now again, it's not going to be edited. You'd have to go back and edit it into something that's a little more readable, but you would at least get your story on paper. You would start getting some of those stories captured, if you will, instead of always having them running around in your head. If you're like me, it's when you're in a relaxed state is when you think, oh, this would be a great story for my memoir. But you're not at a place where you're going to write it down or whatever. And then by the time you do get in front of your computer, you're like, what was that story I thought of the other day? So that's why that's helpful. Linda, I want to jump over to you before we go. Are you still listening in? And would you like to share what key story or turning point would absolutely have to be in your memoir?
Well, I have been listening, but honestly, I've just been so completely present and listening to what these amazing stories have been that I really haven't been able to separate myself to think about my own stuff. I guess what I would just say is that I'm on a continual path of becoming, and I'm becoming more and more true and centered in who I am and who I'm meant to be. And it's still a continuing journey, but I am thrilled to be closer to where I want to be than I ever have been, and I'm highly motivated to continue.
Well, I tell you, I'm watching you from a distance, and it looks good on you.
Oh, thank you for that.
Yes, it definitely looks good.
It is
Could you?
exciting to blossom, you know?
Yes. And to be authentic and to just settle into who you were meant to be.
Yeah, I mean, so many years I was helping other people achieve their dreams by bringing my skills and talents and insights. And now it's interesting because I'm seeking for a word. I'm amplifying what I'm meant to do, like I'm growing toward it in an ever bigger way. But as the saying goes, maybe Zig Ziglar, if you help people get what they want, you're going to get everything you want. And so what I'm doing to serve others in my business endeavors is enabling them to grow in ways that they hadn't anticipated, and I'm benefiting as well.
I can appreciate all of that. For me, and I didn't share earlier, and so Linda, maybe this will be helpful. For me, and I'm just all of you have heard my story so many times. The turning point for me was when I learned how to create passive income. Was the turning point in my story, was when I learned, not when I did it, but when I learned that I could do it, was the turning point. Not the doing of it, it's the learning of the doing of it, if that makes any sense. It's when that realization hit me. Linda, what was a big turning point in your story? Was there a big aha moment that projected you into the path that you're on now?
Just thinking on my feet here, I would say it's actually when I was punching a time clock for a bookkeeping company, and my soul was dying, not a little every day, a lot every day. This was after my husband had passed away, and I was hating the work, not because I'm not good at it, but the circumstances and reporting in 10-minute increments was, I just wanted to put an ice pick in my eye or something every day. And I just knew that I had to branch out and do what I needed to do. And similar to what you said, Kathy, it was like, I am going to start speaking and training at every possible opportunity. And I was offered, a paid gig there, and I had already done a paid speech. I got $1,000 for a 6-minute presentation, which I thought was pretty good. That was before I worked for the bookkeeping company. But I just knew that that was where I really felt lit up, and that I was going to be heading in the direction that mattered to me, and that would make the most of the gifts that had been implanted in me and developed in me through a very long and colorful life story. I mean, and all the things that shouldn't have fit together somehow contributed to making me who I am. And I just really felt more alive than ever when I began to just take the reins and start getting engagements for myself. And that's what's really led to step by step toward what's happening now.
And it was that aha moment, knowing that you could do that and that you wanted to do that.
Yeah. And to think about a seed many years before I had attended, what were those called? Something prior training events. It's like a whole chain of
Yes.
business trainings. And I attended one that related to the work I was doing at the time. And I looked at the trainer and I was like, I could totally do that.
Yes.
And that was, you could say, like the scales fell off my eyes in that moment too.
Yes, I agree. I know exactly what you're talking about. And you're thinking, and they're getting paid to do this.
Yeah, and I paid to sit here and I could do that.
Yeah, nope, I get it. I get it. I think we've all been there at some point where we've seen someone else do, and sometimes we have to see it because that lets us know. And again, not to be, not to, not a disclaimer, not against what anybody is doing, but sometimes I say to myself, if they can do that, I can do that.
Yeah, it's not a slam on them. It's just
Right.
we tend not to think that we can do the thing, but then when it's like right in front of us and we actually take that moment and look at our skill set, it's like, well, dang, I could do that.
Yep, exactly. I know exactly what you're talking about. And again, it looks good on you, Linda.
Oh, thank you. That means so much.
I love that all of you came together today for this. I appreciated that Michael jumped on. Again, he shared before we started recording that he is at the hospital with a family member. And when the doctor came in, he was going to have to go to get the scoop on what was going on with the family member. So that's why he had to jump off suddenly. But he is going to circle back and listen to the replay. He wanted to hear more about the Trello board and he wanted to hear the rest of our stories. So I appreciate you all being here. Carmela, thank you so much for being my co-host, my co-mod on this particular call. And Debbie, I definitely want to get together with you. You're not that far away from me. So let's get together for a lunch or a coffee or something soon. Are you driving now out and about, Debbie?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good, good, good. Any chance that you can come to our coffee chat on Thursday, or is that not a good time in the week for you? It's Thursday at 4 in Pickerington, so it's not horribly far from you.
This Thursday I have an appointment with pulmonary.
Okay, I
So,
knew you had some doctor stuff you were still doing in there.
yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, keep us in mind and we'll get together sometime soon. I appreciate you.
I will.
All right. Ladies, take notes. Start filling out your index cards, whether it's for real or electronically. Get those stories down and let's make a lasting impression for generations to come.
Thank you, Kathy. Beautiful conversation.
Yes. Thank you,
Thank you so
guys. Thank
much.
you.
Thank
Have a great
you.
day.
Love you all, ladies.
Yes, love you too. We will see you all soon.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.